Love and hope to see you on that, amen. It's a pleasure to see all of you. I'm sure some of you I've seen for maybe the second time, some of you have seen for the first time. My name is Boone Anthony, and I am from America. Okay? So you all know that in case I say American phrases, don't laugh at me, or, you know, in case I don't use the Canadian accent, you know, in case I talk English the American way, don't laugh at me, please. So, our topic here for this weekend is actually a very interesting topic that when Boone Choi told me about it, I gotta be honest, I didn't know what in the world I was gonna talk about. Okay? Because he told me we're gonna talk about the mind of Christ. So I started to think to myself, the mind of Christ, mind of Christ. And automatically, I was taken back to junior high school. Junior high school was on the like in 7th and 8th grade. I'm going to ask you to play a little game that we used to play in junior high school, which I'm sure if you were a fun child yourself, you probably played it as well. We used to play the game of what's your favorite superpower? You guys played this game, right? Like if you could have one superpower in the whole wide world, what would you choose? Alright, now think about it carefully. You don't waste this golden opportunity to have a superpower. Quick thing sometimes we say is like the ability to fly. But you know, we really dissected that one and discussed as many logistical issues with flying, like the cold and the temperature and the bugs. So don't just jump to flying. Some people would say, you know, things about grades, but that's just such a waste. If you waste your superpower on A's, like that's a waste. So what we came to, you know, us very mature, intellectual junior high school young males, okay? There was like three that we kind of debated back and forth. These were the big three. I'm not saying them in any particular order. You can rank them whatever order you want. One of them was the ability to have a great comeback for everything anyone says. That's a good one. You know when you get home and you kick yourself, I wish I would have said, this is power, you never have to say what you would have said. Someone said something, automatically you got the perfect comeback for it. Another one, okay, number two, again, no particular order, was to be able to read people's minds, okay? Particularly, we thought it would be very helpful when the teacher's giving tests to be helpful to read your mind. And, you know, when your parents are trying to figure out stuff, very helpful to read people's minds. And the third one, I never really understood, you know, the other boys talked about something about x-ray vision, but I didn't see much out of that. Let's go to the second one. Okay? The ability to read someone's mind. Wouldn't it be great if I could sit in front of you and know what you're thinking about me? Like, you guys have all seen the movie Bruce Almighty, right? Okay, which is a funny movie, a stupid movie, whatever, but, you know, none of us would really complain if we had some of those abilities that I could sit there and read what your mind, what's going on in your mind. Forget about reading other people's minds. What if we could read God's mind? What if we could go inside God's head and know what He's thinking? Like, for example, I don't know, about marriage. Maybe marriage is on some people's minds. Some people might have marriage on some people's minds. What if we could read God's mind? We don't need to point out who it is, okay? That will become evident by the end of the weekend. The number one question people want to ask me, and I'm sure the fathers will agree, is what does God want me to do here? Like, I got the situation, like, y'all are good people, okay? Bad people don't care about what God wants. Bad people do what they want. You're good people. That's why you're here. You're here because you want to do what God wants, but sometimes it seems like, wouldn't it be easy if you just wrote it in the sky? Like, we all do the same thing. We look at the Old Testament, and we say, God spoke in on the mountaintop, and God spoke in dreams, and the prophets, and we say, they were lucky. They had it easy. God was very clear to them. Do this, don't do that. Go here, don't go there.
Excuse me.
Sure.
Sorry. somebody with a license plate, BAVK857, and that's not my friend in life. No.
Very important announcement. I didn't hear what you said. What,
are you expecting to read your mind? Somebody with a license plate, BAVK857, that drives a BMW with his wife, that got the license on that.
Could speak to us the way he spoke back in the old life. Wouldn't it be great that Moses had it made? A bush of his on fire. He told him what to do in life. Go here, do this. How hard is it? You can't miss a bush on fire. Okay? Like, we have to decipher and avoid a sermon and the Bible, and it's like a billion pages. God just light my bush on fire and tell me what to do. Sometimes it seems like it's a big game of hide and seek. God knows what he wants, and it's our job is to chase after him and try to find him. And you felt that way, right? I'm not the only one. That God has something good for us. Everyone says God has a plan, and everyone says God has a will for me, and it's my job to, like, go here and try to look for it. It's like a scavenger hunt, okay? And the one who is lucky people just end up finding it, or something like that. Is it a game of hide and seek? Is this scattered enough? Can we know what's on God's mind? The answer is obviously yes. Because if it's no, we're choosing to be very short. Okay? Our goal for this retreat is to figure out the mind of Christ. And I'm going to tell you today that by the end of this retreat, you'll know the mind. And it's not a game of hide and seek. And here's the thing. God wants you to know his mind more than you want to know his mind. See what I'm saying? I want to know the will of God this much. God wants me to know the will of God this much. So, the factors are working, like everything's working together here. If I want to know God's will, and God wants me to know God's will, everyone should be in, like, agreement. The problem is that sometimes, like, we have a wrong understanding of God's will. We don't understand how God's mind works. So that's what we want to dig in today. Our passage that we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know most people don't have their Bibles, so I do have the verses up here. But let me tell you this. You're much better off if you have your Bible with you. Okay? Because I'm going to flash it up here, and I'm going to flip it to the next thing, and it's going to go away. If you have your Bible in front of you, you can keep it there. So I'll urge you, so hopefully you can bring your Bible with you every time you come. Okay? And that's actually a good tip. Anytime you go to church, anything like that, it's good to take your Bible with you. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start in the middle there. Verse 6. So it says, okay, that's actually long, it should be 1 Corinthians 2, sorry, not 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Graduate convention, we're talking about wisdom among people who are mature. You, mature, me, speak wisdom. Yet, not the wisdom of the faith. Not the wisdom that the philosophy people and the scholarly people and the academic people talk about. Nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Stop right there for a second. St. Paul's saying an introduction for us. Today, we're dropping some serious knowledge. Okay? We're talking serious wisdom. Not the foolish wisdom that, like, Einstein and, like, those academic people. Not that wisdom, because that wisdom is really worthless. That wisdom leads to people crucifying the Lord of glory and all their great wisdom. We're talking even deeper wisdom. And look how deep he's setting the stage for us, like it was the last verse. It's one of the best verses in the whole Bible. Okay? It says, I did not see, Ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of him, and things God has prepared for those who love him. So, why he's saying that? He's saying, I'm going to give you some wisdom. And if you understand this wisdom, and you follow this wisdom, and you have this wisdom, you're going to find something, you're going to see something that no eye can see. You're going to hear something that no ear can hear. You're going to experience something that even your wildest dreams you could have never imagined. That's what's on the plate for this evening. Like he said, the stage here, saying, I got something great for you, and this great wisdom. Let's read on. Verse 10 through 12. But God has revealed them, the hidden things, the wisdom things, to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given, that have been freely given to us by God. What he's saying right there? He's saying that the key to having this wisdom and to having this revelation of these deep things is the Spirit of God. Because who can know the deep things of God except the Spirit of God himself? He goes on, and we'll go down a couple of verses. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Started off by saying, I'm going to talk about mysteries, treasures, things that you couldn't imagine that you could possibly know. And if you're able to figure these things out, you're going to be living life. You're going to be in good shape. Because you're going to find stuff that only people can't even dream of. Okay? God offers us things that people can't even dream of. There's another verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that says, to him who is able to do, watch me here, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power of the word of business. I love that verse. Listen to it again. I didn't put it up. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's saying that if you understand the wisdom of God, think about the greatest thing that you could possibly imagine. Not even the greatest thing that you could obtain, the greatest thing you could imagine obtaining, like the top of the top of the top. God can take that, see that, add exceedingly abundantly to that, and give that to you. How? According to the power that works in us. What's the power that works in us? What's the key to knowing this mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit is the answer. Right? Isn't that what we saw again? Go back. What man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of man in him? And then he talks about the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Look here, ladies and gentlemen. You want the mind of Christ? You want to know where the mind is? This verse, verse 16, says, you already got it. He says, we have the mind of Christ. He didn't say, I have the mind of Christ. He said, we have the mind of Christ. Where's the mind of Christ? Where did it go? Where is it? Like, what page is that on? Where's the mind of Christ? You have it. Wait. It's in the Spirit. You have the Spirit, don't you? You're a Christian, right? You have the Holy Spirit. You were baptized, right? You have the mind room, right? You took communion, right? And when you take communion, it's not just the Son going in you, it's the Holy Trinity, one essence. All of them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have God inside you, right? Well, the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need to guess. You know what the Holy Spirit is? You know what they say? They say that like we as human beings use like, I don't know, I'll make up a number, like 10% of our brain capacity. Like we have a brain and we use like, we capture the 10%. Guys, maybe like 8 or 9% of doing it. Okay? The Holy Spirit's that way. Holy Spirit, we received the Holy Spirit. We got the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit came on this Pentecost, didn't change. Like he didn't like, you know, get weaker. Okay, I'm not as smart. It's the same Holy Spirit that was then and is now and is always going to be the same from generation to generation of the age of all ages. Amen. Same Holy Spirit. But what we do is we tap it into like, I don't even want to say 10%. We use like 1% of the Spirit. St. Peter used the Holy Spirit to heal people. We used the Holy Spirit to go to sleep. St. Peter, or St. Paul used the Holy Spirit that the cloths from his wounds did stuff to people. Healing and miracles and all this kind of stuff. Holy Spirit changes stuff. Transforms stuff. And we have the Spirit, but we just happen to just 1% of the Spirit. It's exactly like an old couple. A man and woman. Old people. Living on a farm. Middle of nowhere. Okay? And, you know, they have a farm and they sell their tomatoes and their corn and their whatever, and they're barely making enough money to get by. Then all of a sudden, one day, they're digging in the ground, they strike oil, and all of a sudden, they are millionaires. Instantly snapping a finger. Let me ask you a question. When did they acquire the millions of dollars? It was there all along. The resources were there. They didn't discover it this day. My fear, many of us live that way, that we have the Spirit, we have the riches, we have the mind of Christ inside of us, and we live like an old couple, living off beans and corn and stuff like that. What we want to do is figure out the mind of Christ, which is the Spirit. We already have it, that's what that verse says, we have the mind of Christ. What we need to figure out this weekend is how to use it. How to tap into it. Because just having the oil in the ground doesn't make you a million. Every one of us has lived with the mind of Christ for many years. We may not have any idea that there's even in there. There may not have tapped into it at all. But the good news for you today, this weekend, we can figure that out. Let me give you another verse here. John chapter 16, verse 7. One of the strangest verses in the Bible. I don't understand this verse. Maybe you can help explain it to me, because it doesn't make any sense. Our Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Can you turn the laptop around? I don't understand that verse. Someone explain that verse. Can anyone explain that verse to you? Where Christ himself is saying to them, like imagine Christ walked up here today. Can I actually get the portable microphone? Is that one around? I'll do a little walking. And I have many attachments. Think about this for a second. So think about this for a second. Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Or this one's better? No? In the back, can you hear me? Okay. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of Gods. Comes and says, it's better if I leave you. What? How can you say that? Think about who he's saying this to. The apostles and disciples had left their houses. They had left their family. They had left their job. They had left everything that they had. And the only thing they had was Christ. That's all they had. They didn't have anything else. If he disappears today, they don't eat tomorrow. They don't know anything about anything. And he comes and says to them, it's better for me, it's better for you if I leave. Here's what he's probably trying to do. He's probably just, you know, like, trying to spin a full fast on, right? Like, this is what I'm trying to do, right? I've been to someone I want to leave. No, because you're tired, let me leave. Okay? That's for you. That's at least one-on-one class, okay? Maybe that's what Christ is trying to do. He's sick of his disciples. He's had enough of them. He said, you know what? For your sake, I'm going to head out of here. And trust me, you're going to be just fine. That's not what he's saying. He meant it. He said, it's better for you, I leave. How? Because when I leave, someone else comes. Who's someone else? That's the Spirit. Who's the Spirit? What's the Spirit do? Yada, yada, yada. Spirit. It's not yada, yada, yada. It's the mind of Christ. The Spirit is the mind of Christ. The Spirit is who tells us the mind of God. Because who can tell us deep things about God except the Spirit of God which dwells in it? We need to figure out here. Okay? We're going to talk this whole weekend about how to have this mind of Christ. But before we figure out how to have the mind of Christ, we need to figure out what, or rather, who is this Holy Spirit? Because He is the key to the mind of Christ. Let's be honest. We don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. We know about the Father, Old Testament. We know about the Son. We read about Him all the time. Holy Spirit, we kind of look at Him as like, just the third wheel of Christ. Okay? We don't really understand Him. That's why sometimes we don't call Him Him, we call Him Him. Okay? We don't understand what He does, where He is. Like, we know He's like kind of a dove, but then He's like fire. He's wings, but He's like, what is He? Like, make up your mind. Like, what are you? We don't understand what He does. And the thing is a lot of people abuse the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that is, they will do something and say that was the Holy Spirit. And then you'll be confused. Like, there are churches out there that do, like, funny things, okay, and say, that's the Holy Spirit does. You're like, is that the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit? And we get confused by the Spirit. So what do? When we get confused by something, we leave it alone. We don't bother. Okay? Let's go back to the Father and the Son. Those are more, like, stable. Because every one of us has a Father, so we know what a Father is. Okay? And even if we don't like the picture of our Father, we need to understand what the Father is. Every one of us is either a son or a daughter. Okay? So therefore, we can understand the Son. And maybe even we have kids, we can understand the Son even better. But the Spirit? What's the Spirit? Like, I know I have a Spirit, but I don't know anything about my Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's why I said, who is the Holy Spirit? Most important thing about the Spirit. He's a person, He's not a thing. Okay? The Father is a person, the Son is a person, and the Spirit is a person. They're one S. Okay? So it's not that the Father is a person, the Son is a person, the Spirit is a it. Okay? We think of the Spirit as like an it kind of a thing. The Spirit is not an it. The Spirit is a person. Should we pray to the Holy Spirit? Should we pray to the Holy Spirit? Again, we know how to pray to the Father, we know how to pray to the Son, but the Spirit kind of confuses us. Here's the best answer I can give you for, should we pray to the Holy Spirit? It is not wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is God, and it's not wrong. But it is not the, like, model of prayer that the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that Trinitarian prayer, Holy Trinity, is as follows. To the Father, through the Son, and with the Spirit. It's not wrong to, like I said, pray to the Spirit, pray to the Son, but the model, okay, is to the Father, through the Son, with the Spirit. You know in the liturgy, when the priest said, Jehovah, right, have mercy on us, O God, the Father, the Son, the Christ, we know that one, and our Savior, all that, and have mercy. What did the priest say before this? Okay, he says, everyone loves this part, especially when it's an Arabic, right? Shout. Everyone gets that. My church, as soon as the priest starts it, the old lady starts singing along and belts it out. That's okay. What do we say? Your people, your people, your people cry unto you, through you, and with you. Let me ask you a question. How do we pray to you, through you, and with you? Easy. That's the Holy Trinity. Pray to the Father, through the Son, with the Spirit. All prayer is directed to the Father, is prayer directed to the Father. He taught us to pray all things through His name. He's like the channel by which we get to the Father. Who's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the fire that lights us, puts us. It's the wind that picks us up, kind of kicks us in the pants and tells us to pray. The Holy Spirit is the movement inside us, okay? Holy Spirit is a person, He's not an it. What's the Holy Spirit's job? Father's job, easy, creation. Son's job, easy, salvation. What's the Holy Spirit's job? What has He ever done for anyone? Like, it came down on the apostles and disciples, but like... me, I'm loud. If I had to ask you, what did the Holy Spirit do? What would you say? What's His job? I can use it. His job is bigger than even the Father and the Son's job. Father had a big job, create the whole world. Son had a big job, save the whole world. But the Spirit has the hardest job. You know why? Because the Spirit's job is to make God personal. What I mean by that is, it's the Spirit's job to everything that God does to make it personal. The Spirit takes the big act of salvation, of dying on the cross and resurrection, and makes that personal and allows me to move. The Spirit takes 10,000 pages of this and makes this word applicable to my life. The Spirit takes the prayers of the liturgy, which go on and on and on and on, and He gives riches and power and depth and jewels inside of those things. The Spirit's job is to take the general and to make it specific. That's why we have so much confusion about the Spirit. Because you know what? The Spirit works differently in all of our lives. Holy Spirit is not cookie cutter. Holy Spirit is working on you right now in a specific way, in a different way He's working on me. He's not generic. Okay? He's very individual. That's why I'm saying He's got a tough job. Because He's got to deal with all kinds of different cultures, all kinds of different ages, all kinds of different mentalities, all kinds of different people all over the world. He's got to work with each one and figure out a way to make all this stuff very, very, very personal, applicable, and made a difference to me in 2007. He's got a tough job. The best analogy, the analogy that I like, that the Bible gives, this is the coolest thing, okay? When you go and travel other places and people bring you water, this is like something fascinating for me. This doesn't happen in back home. The best analogy I like of the Holy Spirit is the wind, okay? Because the wind, unless you're like some, you know, engineer, or I don't know what kind of guy you are, wind is like a mystery. Like, I've always wondered, like, where does wind come from? Like, now there's wind, now there's no wind. Like, where did it come from? And how is there wind over here? You ever wonder this one? Like, where does wind stop? Like, how can it be windy in this city? Like, who stops the wind? Like, and who starts the wind anyway? Like, is it just like one wind? It's like the wave that goes around the stadium and just kind of starts and goes around? Where is wind? We don't understand winds. We don't know where it comes from. But we sure know when it's blowing. And we can see the rest on that tree, and on my head, and on my hat, and on my galabay, and things like that. That's what the Holy Spirit is. We may not understand Him fully. We don't know where He comes from. We don't know how He got here. We don't know where He's going next. But we know when He's there. And we can feel His presence. And I can see His work in the lives of many other people. If we want to have the mind of Christ, we must understand the Holy Spirit. Because you'll never understand the mind of Christ without understanding the Holy Spirit. Today I'm going to give you an intro. And I want us to understand who is the Holy Spirit and what does He do. And I'm going to tell you three things that the Holy Spirit does. Understand me right. I'm not going to tell you everything the Holy Spirit does. Because first of all, I can't do that. Because the Holy Spirit can do whatever He wants. He's God. I can't tell Him what to do. But I'm going to tell you three very important things that I know that He wants to do in you, and He wants to do in me. And He wants to do these things in order to get us to understand the mind of Christ. Remember, like I said, those deep riches, I have not seen nor ear heard, never come upon the heart of man. Okay? So He does three things in order to get us there. First thing, I'm going to go by roles. Three roles that He fulfills. He's our paraclete. You've heard the term paraclete before, probably don't know what it means. A translation for it is helper. Look at John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. It says, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you." Helper is the paraclete, how it's translated this. "But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." He's our paraclete, He's our helper. And His job is to convict us. But it doesn't sound like much of a helper. He's my helper. Paraclete, like, think of paraclete like paramedic. Okay? A paramedic's job is to do what? It's to save your life. Okay, when you're in danger, he comes, that's where that word helpful came from. You're in trouble, he comes, helps you, mouth to mouth, whatever it may be that you need to help you and save your life. Holy Spirit is like the same way. But somehow he does it by convicting us. How is that a helpful thing? Look, the world that we live in, that you live in, that I live in, is a wicked world. It's a wicked place. And if you're not careful, the wickedness that's around you will infect you, will spread all around you, and will cause you to burn for all eternity. And the Holy Spirit, it's His job to come look us in the face every now and then and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. That's the Holy Spirit does it. Sometimes we think our conscience. Not exactly. Your conscience is a part of you that tells you what's right, what's wrong, what's messed up. And the Holy Spirit uses your conscience, but the Holy Spirit is so much greater than your conscience. Your conscience is a lot of why. Okay? Because everyone's got a conscience and all that kind of stuff. Conscience is part of you, and the Holy Spirit uses it as a tool. But the Holy Spirit is so much bigger than that. The Holy Spirit wants to make sure that you realize the danger of the world outside. Us, without the Holy Spirit, we minimize sin. We say everything is no big deal. Everything is no big deal. No matter how bad it is, it's no big deal. No matter how deep I'm in, it's no big deal. I'll figure my way out. Holy Spirit comes and says, no, you won't figure your way out. This is sin, and if you stay this way, you're going to be in trouble. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Look what else the Holy Spirit does. This is your paraclete here. He's helping you out. Therefore, I know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You sang a nice little song right there, and you said something, I don't remember what is the song, but one of the songs said that Jesus is your Lord, He's your master, He's our King, whatever it said. You played a song that talks about He's Lord. You said, let us give thanks to the beneficent and merciful God. You said those words, if you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you couldn't say those. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who allows us. We can't even call Jesus Lord without the Spirit inside of us. I'll give you another one. It's a regular one. Try to understand this one. This is a deep verse. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. What's the anointing you have received? When you were this big, you went inside a little room called Baptist Street, and you got an anointing. That anointing is my room. It's the Holy Spirit. The anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things that is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. I love this verse. Because this verse says that no matter how long I've been away from God, no matter how long I've been doing my own foolish thing, there you know what is inside of me? Is a magnet. Okay? The Spirit inside of me is a magnet. And the magnet is always like the Spirit is a magnet, and the Father and the Son is the other half of the magnet. And it's always drawing you closer. And sometimes we kick and we scream and we push and we shove and we try to go this way. And what does the Spirit do? It draws me back. And then I run all the way over here and I don't have nothing to do with this. And the Spirit does what? It draws me back. It's always drawing me back. Because it's in there. That's my paraclete. That's my good, friendly, neighborhood paraclete. Who loves me and is always pulling me back to where I belong. You may not see this. The paraclete is working so many times that you don't even realize that he's working. You know that email that you got? You know that email with that verse? That's the paraclete. You know that phone call where you didn't want a boy to call you and you avoided his call but then he blocked his number and you got to somehow? That's the paraclete. You know that sermon which you just wanted to sleep through but you heard one thing and that one thing made something rumble? That's the paraclete. The paraclete tells us who we are and tells us who we need to be. That's number one. The second thing about the Holy Spirit, He's our guarantee. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also had you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, with the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What does this verse mean? This verse means the following. You know who the Holy Spirit is? He's our down payment. He's our down payment. God has given to us the Holy Spirit as a down payment to say, I give you this now, the rest is to come later. What do I mean by that? The ultimate goal of our life is that we have full communion with God. That's what heaven will be. Full communion. Okay? When me and God are one, full intimacy with one another. I don't have that now. They live in the world. But what I do have is a down payment on that, which God has given me His very spirit, okay? His very mind. He's given it to me and says, I've given you this now, there's more good stuff to come. Imagine that I left you to babysit my house, okay? I left you, like, to watch my house while I'm gone. And I told you, when I come back, I'm going to give you $10,000. I'm going to give you $10,000 when I come back. And then I leave. And then I'm gone for a while. And maybe in your head you say, you want me to come back, and I can come back. Like, you promised me this great reward, but you know what? I don't know if you come back. He said, gone for a while. And you really have no way of knowing if I'm going to come back or not. But you know what helped me figure out if I'm coming back? Imagine I left something there that's valuable. Like, I don't know, my kid. Okay? If I left my kid with you, you'd be pretty certain that I'm probably going to come back. Let's say I leave my kid. Let's say I left, like, my kidney there. My ribs there. My spirit there. My brain there. You think I'm going to come back? Most likely, if my brain is there, I'm going to come back. Because I'm going to need that one of these days, okay? Because I can only get so far without the brain, okay? That's exactly what God knew. God knew we would hesitate and be like, he's coming back. He's loved me for a long time. He's loved me for a long time. Just relax. You have my spirit? I'm going to come back to get my spirit. Okay, I'm not going to leave him down there for the rest of whatever. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you with me. God giving us his spirit is a sign of how much he's investing in us. Okay? How much he believes in us. How much he cares about us. And how much he wants us to know those deep places. And how much he wants us to live in heaven. That he's left his own spirit with us to show us. So how do I know that God's going to come through on his promises? Because he's left me his spirit. How do I know that when this book says that not a hair on my head will be lost, how do I know that's going to come true? Because he's left me his spirit. How do I know that there's really an end in sight to the pain, the suffering, the misery, the whatever? Because he's left me his spirit as a guarantee. And if he's left me his spirit, how much that spirit is a guarantee of our inheritance. So the spirit is our helper, is our guarantee. But the Spirit is also, number three, our GPS / coach. For those who are not in the 21st century, don't have a GPS. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The Bible says that the spiritual life is a journey. It's a walk. And you are here, and you're supposed to be walking in life. Okay? That's contrary to many of us would like to sleep through life. Okay? A wizard said, you know, sit on the couch in the spirit, something like that. It doesn't say it. It says to walk. And that means that you should be moving. How do you know where to go? How do I know where to go? How do I know what I'm supposed to do tonight after this meeting finishes? How do I know what I'm supposed to do tomorrow morning? How am I supposed to do on Sunday morning, Saturday nights? How am I supposed to know anything? Like, yeah, the Bible is great and it gives you lots of good information. How do I know what I'm supposed to do when my boss comes and tells me to stay late on a Friday night? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? The Holy Spirit is your GPS. The Holy Spirit, you made the decision one day. You want to live for God. You decide you don't want to live for money. I'm making this assumption, but I hope it's right. You don't want to live for money. You're not here for girls. You're not here for boys. You're not here about yourself. You're here because you know what? I want to live for God. On that day, you bought a GPS and you plugged in the directions. Okay? And the best thing about the GPS is once you plug in the directions, don't worry about the thing. Just follow what the GPS says to do. And sometimes the GPS will say turn left, sometimes it says turn right, sometimes it says go forward, sometimes it says this way, sometimes it says that way. As long as I listen to the GPS and I do what it tells me to do, I'm pretty confident I'm going to get where I need to go. Even if I don't understand why I need to go. Even if I say, you know what, why? Like sometimes the GPS can tell me to go left when I'm pretty sure I should go right. But you know what? When I listen to the GPS, I'm going to end up in the right place. Holy Spirit says GPS. You make a decision, you want to live for God. That's the day you hit the odometer onto zero, and you began your journey. And you began to try to do this, to walk in the Spirit. How do you know where to go? The Holy Spirit guides us, and He tells us. It's like this verse says, the flesh is always trying to get you lost. Okay, the flesh wants you to go here, and the Spirit is trying to get you to go here. Think of it if you're not a technology guy and you aren't seeing GPS, think of it like a coach. Alright? Imagine a football team. Okay? Maybe some of you are football fans. If you're not, you will be next. Because I'm a football fan. Football, the way it works, okay, is I'm going to try to dump down football one. Okay? You have a coach, and he's in charge of the players. At any moment in time, okay, what you're all going to see that you have 11 guys on the field. My 11 versus your 11. And usually, okay, my job is to get the ball to score into the end zone, called a touchdown. Okay? In order to get the ball across there, it's not as easy as it seems, because the other team has big guys who are trying to kill the person in the ball. Okay? So what my coach does is he puts a bunch of big fat guys in front of me, and their job is to knock the other big fat guys down so that I can run through and get to the end zone. Anyone who's ever played football, really any sport, knows there's going to be times where the coach tells you to do something. And you may not see the value of it. I'm a big fat guy, and coach tells me, hit my guy and go this way. What? Well, it's exciting to feel the judge. You know? I want to run and catch the ball, you know? Or I want to throw the ball. I'm like, look here, you're a big fat guy. Okay? Your job, like I said, trust me. You come here, you do this. What happens if the big fat guy decides, you know what? I decided I'm going to do this. I decided, you know what? I'm not going to get this guy. I'd rather, you know, play another position. I want to do this. The team is most likely not going to be successful. It's the same thing in our life. The Holy Spirit is that coach who says, you know what? Now let me do this. But what? Just do this. Okay? And now I need you to do this. But I want to just trust me. Okay? You want to be successful? You want it, like, there's a master plan of what I'm trying to say. That you started off here in life, and your goal is to walk, and you need someone who has a master plan to tell you where to go, when to stop, when to run for your life, when to go left, when to go right. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. There are often times that the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, and you have no idea why it's telling you to do it. And in fact, there's many times He'll tell you to do something, and you think it's the exact opposite of what you should be doing. It's at those times that my advice to you, listen to your coach. Okay? Listen to your GPS, because it's smarter than you. The Holy Spirit, oftentimes in my life, appears as a coach, but sometimes, like, okay, again, so back to the football now. Sometimes the coach says nicely, you go here and hit this guy, but sometimes the coach may raise his voice a little bit, okay? And he may scream a little bit, he may, you know, get a little bit excited like that, okay? Holy Spirit sometimes gets excited for me too. Not in a bad way, but I'll tell you how. I remember we took a trip, our youth group took a trip to Egypt back in 2001. This is before I was a priest. And me and my wife had just gotten married. My name was Marianne. His name. we were phased and whatever, all this kind of stuff. One of the things on the trip was we went up Mount Sinai. Okay? And you climb, I don't know if anyone's ever gone up Mount Sinai in Egypt, okay? It's great, it's nice, the brochure, the picture is great, it is serious work, okay? And it really makes you appreciate how Moses, old man, did it so many times. It's very difficult. And but it starts off kind of nice, because you kind of go around, and everyone is, you know, excited, and you start this and that, going around and around, and then you get to, like, near the end. And you know you're near the end because there's, like, a rest stop, and there's, like, all these signs that say, like, this is, like, don't go further unless you're really ready to do it. And as soon as you hit that moment in time, those who have done it, it's no more round and round, it's straight up. Okay? The last, like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that, is straight up, like, steps. Okay? And some of these steps are, like this much between. And I'm telling you, there's no place to stop. There's a straight room, and it's up. And it warns you. Make sure you don't go up this, heart attack, open pregnant, all kinds of stuff. I remember going up this. I told my wife, I told her, you know, in my loving, husbandly way, are you sure you can do it, sweetheart? Because I'm very, I like a challenge. I'm going to get up to the top mountain. Are you sure you're going to be able to make it? She says, yes, I'm going to make it. Are you sure you'll be able to make it? She says, you're going to make it. You got the nice shoes, you got everything, like, you're good. Tell me you're going to make it. Okay. So, we're going up the mountain, okay? And like I said, at the beginning, everyone's cool. And then after about 12 seconds, it became exhausting, okay? And it was like everyone was starting to struggle. And I remember some people started to drop off, okay? Some people started just like sitting on the side and moving. And my wife, I'd see her, she would look at them and be like, ah! We said we're going to the mountain, we're making up together. And the people told me, I don't really even remember that well, but all the people around me told me, as we were going up that mountain, I became like, you ever seen Rocky? Rocky movies? I became like Rocky, like she was, like, I'm the trainer, I'm the trainer, you can do it, let's go, no pain, no gain, let's go, no pain. And I was being mad, she's like, no, stop, like, no, you can do it, no, stop, like, no, you can do it. And I remember there was this young guy, like this big, strong young guy, and he stopped, she's like, even what's that? I'm like, okay, watch him, you're better than him, you can do it. And I was screaming at her all the way up, and the funny thing is, like, the three or four people who were in front of her said, you know, we wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for you. And even when we got to the top, and even to this day, she thanked me because I pushed her, and I was given that kind of coaching like that. Holy Spirit sometimes that way for us. No, it's hard. No, you can do it. No, but I can't. Yes, you can. No, but I don't take a break. No break. We say, we think he's mean, and he's tough, and he's not just in that. Hey, you get to the top of the mountain, you'll be thanked. You get to the top of the mountain, you will be thanked. And he pushes you to wake up and go to church. When he pushes you for purity. When he pushes you to confess. When he pushes you to stop that relationship. When he pushes you in these ways. Sometimes you just tell him, leave me alone, leave me up to that guy. He says, no, I'm not letting you alone. You on this journey, you want to make it to the top of the mountain. Sometimes you need a kick in the pants. The Holy Spirit are kicking the pants. But we got to tap into him and we got to obey him. Three things of the Holy Spirit. He's your paraclete, he helps you. He's your guarantee. He assures you that God is going to come through on everything he's ever promised. And number three, he's your GPS or your coach. And he pushes you. Remember the verse that I said earlier. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. You don't have to come on the heart of man. Think God is prepared for those who love him. I hope everyone can memorize that verse. It's easy. We say it, and I say it. Okay? The priest is when he says the prayer for the departed, praying for the short year, he says that exact word. The eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor come on the heart of man, but you, O God, are prepared for those who love your name. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to help you to get there. He's your guarantee that if you stay with him, you will get there. If you obey him, you will get there. It's not like, it's not a false promise. Okay, it's not something that can't be achieved, or it's for the priests, or for the monks, or the nuns, or the bishops. It's for you. I don't care what your name is. It's for you. It has your name on it, and he's guaranteeing. He's guaranteeing that you will get there. And number three, he's your GPS that will show you the path to get there. The Holy Spirit is a lot more valuable than we realize, as we read right there. But God has revealed then those deep things to us through His Spirit. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God. Look at this. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The summary of this weekend, we are not coming here to find out where the mind of Christ is. We are coming here that we might know the things that have already been given to us freely. You have the mind of Christ. That's what St. Paul said. We have the mind of Christ. You have it. You don't need to go out and buy it. You don't need to search long for it. All you need to do is just to tap into it and to maximize your use of the Spirit which is inside you. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught that the kingdom of heaven is not far from you. In fact, it is within you. And it's that same within you that we're going to find the mind of Christ this weekend. You have a great opportunity this weekend. You have a great opportunity. I should say we, because I'm more excited for this than you are. We have an opportunity that we can leave here in 48 hours, whatever it may be, and we know the mind of Christ. And we see what Christ sees. And we know what He knows. It's a great opportunity that's waiting for you. But in order to get there, we're going to need to understand the Holy Spirit and tap into Him. Last thing I'll say, another thing that we pray every time we pray the liturgy, pray many times throughout the liturgy. Okay, anytime we read the gospel, we say many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see and to hear the things that you hear, but they haven't seen them yet. Many prophets, Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, would come here today, they're looking down at heaven right now and say, man, you're lucky. You're lucky. Because even though I heard the word of God, I wish I could see what you can see. What are you talking about? I don't see anything. I see clouds. I see confusion. I see nothing. I wish I could hear what you hear. You may not know what you see. You may not know what you can see. You may not know what you can hear. But trust me, this weekend, mind of Christ, stick with it, Holy Spirit, and you will see. And you'll be able to look at Moses and be like, I got you. I got you. Glory to God forever. Amen.